Malachi, the last Old Testament book before the book of Matthew. You can find it that way. That's how I always find it. And we're going to be in chapter 2 tonight. As we finished up chapter 1 last week, we looked at it and said there was two basic themes in chapter 1. The first theme was that our giving should never be out of constraint. We should be a cheerful giver. We talked about 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And we said that word cheerfully can actually be transmitted as hilarious. Hilarious. We want to be a hilarious giver in our tithes, in our time, in our talents. God, that's what God wants. He wants us to give that way. And that's what we saw that in the first chapter of Malachi, that the priests weren't giving joyfully. The other theme that we saw in Malachi, the first chapter, was God disciplines those he loves. God disciplines those he loves. You know, the failure as a parent to discipline our children really is not a sign of love, but it's a sign of disregard, of hatred. And God loves, disciplines us at times because he loves us. We talked about that. We said it at the end of the day, we want to hear what Matthew 25:21 says. It says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Good and faithful. I think the key there is faithful. We want to be faithful in all that we're doing when we're serving the Lord. That was the end of chapter 1 last week. Let's look at chapter 2 now. We're going to break it up into a couple different sections. The first section is the first 9 verses. And in my Bible, it's titled Corrupt Priests. And that's where we're going to concentrate our time on tonight, corrupt priests. If you listen as I read the first 9 verses of Malachi 2. And it says, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you." If you want to circle that word priest, those priests came from the tribe of Levi, and we're going to break that down in just a few minutes and talk a little bit more about that. And this commandment, God ordained it, and God is in the execution of this commandment. This commandment is straight from him to these priests. It's very direct. Verse number 2, "If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will bless, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take them to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants." If you want to circle that word descendants, you can write off the one side children. Rebuke your children and spread refuge on your faces. The refuse of your solemn feast, and one who will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have set this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue. Remember, we said last week that Levi, the third son of Jacob by Leah, he was the model of the tribe of the Levites, says the Lord of hosts. Verse number 5, "My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave to them that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned away many from iniquity. For the lips of the priest shall keep knowledge, and people shall seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore I have made you contemptible or despicable and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law." You see, in verses number 1 through 4, God exposes and he's condemning the unfaithful priesthood of Israel. In verse number 1, we said this is a direct commandment to those priests, for you. It's a direct statement. In verse number 2, it says, "You will not hear." It says, if the priests will not hear and repent or change their ways, God promises to curse their blessings. Curse their blessings. It's either a reference to the blessings which were brought to the priests by the people, or the priestly blessings that they gave to the people. Let's back up just for a second. That one first verse where it says, O priests. I said that that came from the tribe of Levi. It's interesting to know that these priests came from the tribe of Levi. They lived in 48 towns in Judah, the southern part of the Jewish country, and Israel, the north part. Numbers 35:3 says this. It tells us that they kept animals, and they were probably the people who cheated in the previous verse. Go back with me to verse number 14 in chapter 1 just for a moment. And it says, But cursed be the deceiver who has a flock, who has in his flock a male, and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. That's the priest that he's talking about here in verse number 1. You see, in verse number 2, it says, He's going to curse their blessings. You see, a curse had an important meaning for the Jewish people back then. You see, God punished his people by a curse if they didn't obey his laws. In Deuteronomy 27:14 through Deuteronomy 28:68, we're not going to look at that tonight, but you can look at it for homework. It has a list of both curses and blessings. Blessings are the opposite of curses. Curses cause death. Blessings cause life. And the Levites read these curses and blessings out loud every year. They did it on the day when the people promised to obey God's covenant. So here they are, they're reading these curses and blessings, and what does God say? He promises to curse their blessings in verse number 2. You see, it also says, because you do not take it to heart. Their sin goes all the way back to this hollow religion that they're practicing. It's a religion of these surface emotions and outward signs. But you see, it's not of their heart. Do we see that today in churches? Oh, I believe we do. I believe we see that so often in so many churches where the word isn't taught. Where the word goes out, it just kind of tickles the ears of the listeners. It's a shallow, hollow religion, and that's what Malachi is talking about here. Because you don't take it to heart. Verse number 3, it says, spread refuge on your faces. You know, sacrificed animals that were sacrificed still had this excrement in their system, and God said that they should be that should be burned outside the sanctuary. Exodus 29:14 says this, Then take the rest of the bull, including its hide, its meat, and dung or excrement, and burn it outside the camp as a sin offering. God says he's going to rub their noses in it, so that they'll have to be taken outside the sanctuary. Rub their noses in it. You know, when I was growing up, and I don't think this is done anymore, so don't hold this against me. Please don't call the animal lovers people. But when I was growing up, I can remember we had a puppy. And when that puppy had an accident in the house, you would rub its nose in that problem. I don't think we do that anymore. I mean, I don't know. But if you do, please don't call the animal people on me. I never did that. But that's what kind of I relate to. They're getting their noses rubbed in this. These priests, these unholy priests, these corrupt priests are getting their noses rubbed in this stuff. Verse number 4, that my covenant with Levi may continue. You see, that shows the motive for God's discipline against these ungodly, corrupt priests that we're talking about. You see, the Lord hoped that this would warn the priests back to this proper respect of the covenant. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to get these priests' attention. Hey, guys, you're going to get your noses rubbed into this if you don't straighten out. This is what I want you to do. I want you to come back to what you're supposed to be doing. And that's what he's saying, that my covenant with Levi may continue. You know, in verses 4 through 6, God speaks about Levi as being one man. But actually, what God is talking about here is he's talking about the family of Levi, especially the men who were good priests. And God is reminding these evil, corrupt priests at this time about their family history. If you look back into the word in Genesis 34, 35, you'll see that Levi was a cruel man. Levi's father was Jacob, and before Jacob died, he blessed all his 12 sons. But Jacob didn't bless Levi. Instead of a blessing, Levi received a curse on behalf of his family. Genesis 49, if you want to look that up. But you see, Moses belonged to the family of Levi, and Moses pleased God greatly. And Moses blessed Levi's family in what he did. You can see that in Deuteronomy 33. That my covenant with Levi may continue. Verses 5 through 7, is talking about what a priest should be, this example of Levi, knowing now that this Levi is really talking about the family of Levi, all these priests and the good priests that were in the family of Levi. Listen as I read in verses number 5 through 7, for my covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me, so he feared me, and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned away many from iniquity. For the lips of the priest shall keep knowledge, and people shall seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the God of hosts. You see, in verse number 5, it's talking about the covenant was with him. God promised Levi that his descendants were going to be scattered throughout Israel. But it was turned into that wonderful blessing when Levi was designated as the priestly tribe. And the priests were sprinkled throughout Israel. Just like we said, there was 48 in all the different towns. Verse number 5, it also says, so he feared me. God uses Levi, you see, as an example for the priests in the day of Malachi. What is the example? Well, Levi is shown to be an example of what? Reverence. He feared me and was reverent before my name. Knowing God's word, the law of truth was in his mouth. Godly character. He walked with me in peace and equity. Preserving and promoting God's word should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. Those are all four things that we should be doing, you see, as believers in today's world. You see, we look at this book, and I'll have to admit, when I first started studying the book of Malachi, I said, well, how am I going to relate this? How do I relate corrupt priests so we can take something with us tonight? Well, it's right there in verse number 5. We need to be reverent. We need to fear God. We need to be reverent before his name. You know, on Sunday mornings, we try to create an atmosphere of reverence in the chapel here. And when we come in, we try to have some soft music playing. And we do that for a reason. We try to keep the talking and everything outside. Because people are coming in and people are hurting. They may have burdens. They may have had a tough week. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're not feeling good. Maybe there's something in their family and they just want to spend some quiet time with God. And that's what we're trying to promote here. So if we ever come up to you and say, hey, would you mind just talking out there? Don't get mad at me. We're just trying to create that reverence in the sanctuary before the service time. Because it really is that perfect time when we can come in and prepare our hearts. We've all had that busy week. We've all had a real difficult week sometimes. We've gotten into the express line at Publix and there's been a guy with 50 items in his shopping cart. We went through those difficulties. We want to come in and just clear our heads and clear our minds so we can focus on God when we're going into worship. Reverence, knowing God's word, the law of truth was in his mouth. How do we know God's word? Well, we've got to be in it. We've got to be looking at it every day. We've got to have our devotional time. We've got to have our prayer time. We've got to have that close time with God. Godly character, he walked with me in peace and equity. I think that talks about our testimony. I think it talks about our testimony. How do others see us out in the world? Preserving and promoting God's word. Wow, that's something that we should be doing every day. You see, here we are talking about corrupt priests, but it's right here are four things that we should be doing every day. Every day. Verse number 6, it says the law of truth was in his mouth. You see, the priest had that special responsibility to hold and spread the word of God. 2 Chronicles 31:4 says this, in addition, he required the people of Jerusalem to bring a portion of their goods to the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves fully to the law of the Lord. See, God's word was given to the priests for life and peace so they would be reverent before the Lord. That's what Malachi is saying to them. But you see, these priests were sinning. They were not obeying God's laws. And the priests should have known God's laws. He should have known them, and they should have known to obey them. And other people were going to see their behavior. And other people could watch, they're supposed to watch them and see how they're supposed to serve the Lord. Oh, I think our testimony is so important nowadays because there's so much going on and people watch us and look at us and say, wow, I thought that guy was a Christian. Why did he get so mad? I believe that's what it's talking about here. Verse number 7, the lips of the priest should keep knowledge. Because the priest had to hold and spread God's word, they had to do it with knowledge so that the people could seek the law from their mouth. Leaders should know and be knowledgeable messengers of God's word. And how do we do that? Well, we need to study the word. We need to pray. We need to fellowship. We need to be in service. We need to be in the word. We need to be looking in the Bible for those 7,000 promises that are in there. We need to be searching those out. That's what it's talking about here. Verses 8 and 9. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I have made you contemptible and base before all the people because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Verse number 8, you have departed from the ways. You see, the priests should have held on to the word of God. They should have known, they should have had knowledge, there should have been reverence, there should have been obedience, but instead, what did they do? They departed from the way. And unfortunately, back in those days, they caused many to stumble. Oh, I think we have to be so careful how we act out in the world so that we don't cause anybody to stumble. We have to be so careful because it's so easy in today's world to get caught up in the things that are going on and sometimes lose our temper. Especially when you're driving out there in South Florida, in the stores, being waited on, calling the 800 number for customer service, been interrupted by the telemarketer at dinner time. It's difficult. It's hard. Satan throws those darts at us all day long, and we talked about that in Ephesians, that we put up the shield of faith to bounce those fiery darts off. And you see, that's what it's talking about. These priests have departed from the way, and they've given into bad knowledge. They don't have reverence anymore. They don't have obedience to the word. And Malachi has called them on this. They've departed from the way. They're not doing the things they're supposed to do. They didn't obey God's laws. They caused people to stumble and to sin also. They were destroying their covenant with God. And remember, when he cursed them, he punished the people who didn't obey him. Verse number 9, it says, therefore I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people. You see, because the priests of Malachi's day fell so far short of what God's ideal was for them, the people that worshiped under them held these priests in contempt. You see, the ordinary people in the body of believers that was there listening, they realized what the priests were doing in this day. And it caused a hatred for these priests. You see, these priests were trying to make themselves popular by changing God's law. They didn't bring honor to God. When I think about that, I think about, again, where our churches are in today's world sometimes. You know, that's one thing that I just love about Calvary Chapel, is that we teach from the Bible, and that we teach book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. Now, I've got to tell you, if I was teaching, it probably wouldn't be out of Malachi. It's a difficult book. But you see, there's a lot in Malachi, once we get into it, that pertain to today. This isn't just a book about corrupt priests 400 years before the book of Matthew. This says our world written all over it. You see, that's why it's important when we teach, is that we're teaching book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We're going through the whole Bible. We're not doing cafeteria-style preaching. Oh, I'll take some of that. And, oh, that looks pretty good. I'll take some of that. But leave that out, because I don't want any of that stuff over there. That's hard to teach. You see, we don't do that. We go through the whole book. Pastor Ken has spent 3 to 4 weeks on the book of Jude, 24, 25 verses. That's because there's so much in it. How do you leave anything out? How do you skip over it? You can't. You keep teaching it. You keep looking at it. And that's what these priests weren't doing. They had gotten away from the word. They had gotten away from what they were supposed to do, and the people knew it. And the people had called them on it. And God called them on it and said, if you don't change, this is what's going to happen. So what do we learn? How do these priests relate to us? What can we learn from these 9 verses tonight? Well, I believe verse number 2 talks about giving glory to the name of Jesus. We need to give glory to the name of Jesus. We need to remember who Jesus is. We need to give him praise and honor, especially when we're here, but outside here also. Give glory to Jesus. Verse number 6 talks about, what is our testimony? The world is watching us. Oh, I can remember when I first started working in corporate America, probably in the late 70s, early 80s. I was in an office, and we had one guy in there that was very well read. And he liked to talk Jesus down. And he knew that I was a believer, and I won't tell you that I was a go-get-em believer at that time. I was probably more of a Secret Service type believer, you know, Secret Service. Kept my mouth shut, but people knew what I stood for. I didn't go out drinking with the guys or doing the stuff after work, and they knew that. But you see, he would always come up and say, "Ron, don't ruin your testimony," in a sarcastic way. And I think about that. Don't ruin our testimony. That's what verse number 6 is talking about. We need to have that testimony as we're out there in the world on an everyday basis. And when those times get tough, we've got to stop and think, who's watching me? Am I behaving the way that Jesus would want me to behave? What is our testimony? Verse number 7, we need to be in and studying God's word. Why? Well, because we're going to be questioned sooner or later about our Christianity, about our religion, about our beliefs. We're going to get questioned. And we need to be able to answer. Now, we don't have all the answers, and that's okay. But we need to be able to stand up for what we believe in. And how do we do that? Well, we've got to be in the Word. And we've got to be studying in the Word on a regular basis. As I was studying this for tonight, I said, how do I relate, other than those three topics, how do we relate this so we can take this with us tonight and remember that this wasn't just about corrupt priests tonight, but this was talking about us and what we need to do on an everyday basis? And I don't know if any of you use the book of Proverbs as your daily devotion, but the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters, and you can go through each one, read a chapter a day as part of your devotions. Well, for chapter 8 this morning, as I read it, I said, I understand how I'm supposed to close tonight. Because it was so clear, Proverbs 8. The first verse, it says, listen as wisdom calls out, hear as understanding raises her voice. You see, in chapter 8, in the book of Proverbs, that's an ode to wisdom. Wisdom is personified here, and because of that wisdom in this chapter, many people have likened that wisdom to Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:3 says, for in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Did you catch that? For him are hid in all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, because Jesus is the soul and the heart of wisdom, in him all the treasures of wisdom are found. Let me just read a couple more verses of Proverbs 8. It says, on the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance to the town, on the roads leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you, I raise my voice to the people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. You see, that was what just caught my eye right there. That's what Malachi was talking to these priests. Hey, priest, show some understanding, you foolish people. Don't you understand that you're going to get this stuff rubbed all over your face? You're going to be thrown out of here. Get some understanding. Show some understanding. Verse number 6, it says, listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right. For I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. Wow, what a promise that is. Verse number 8, my advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instructions rather than silver and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare with it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. Do you have wisdom tonight? Are you in the Word? Are you studying? Are you getting closer and closer and closer to Jesus this year? Here we are in February already. Have you made a goal to study more, to pray more, to fellowship more, to serve more, to tithe more, to give more of your time, to give more of your talents? You see, that's really what the book of Malachi is all about. It's a wonderful book when you get into it. We're going to look at verses 10 through 17 next week so you can read ahead. But this week, if you're not using the book of Proverbs, try it this week. The book of Proverbs, one chapter. Start with chapter 9 tomorrow. Get alone in your prayer closet with Jesus this week and thank Him for all that He does for you. Give Him that praise and that blessing. Then when we come in on Sunday mornings, come in and spend that quiet time in here, preparing your heart. Conversate out there for a little while, and then come in and just be quiet before Him and prepare. And then when worship starts, just worship with your whole heart. And then as the teaching starts, just open up your heart and your mind to what the Lord is going to tell you for that day. I don't know whether you know it or not, but there's a group of people, they're even here tonight, but they're in every service. They're what's called our in-service prayer support, ISPS, in-service prayer support. They're in every service. And they're praying for you. They're praying for that guy who gave his life to Jesus on Sunday. They were praying for him. You see, we're praying for people as they're listening and as they're worshiping. If they're going through difficult times, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will touch them and speak to them.